Good morning. Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture and all of the connections between them. As always, we have a fun and interesting guest, Christopher Bromsom. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Oh, Rayshan, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are the CEO and executive director of one of my favorite places, the Museum of the Dog in New York City.
Thank you. It's true. And it is as fun as it sounds.
It is wonderful. One of my favorite parts about the museum, if we can give our listeners a visual, is at the top of the museum, you're right in the heart of New York City. And around the very top of the museum, there are shadows of dogs walking all day long.
Isn't it fantastic? And they really pop, as you know. One of the best parts of winter season is how much the dogs who are running constantly across our ceiling pop in the evening hours. But yes, we are a block south of Grand Central, so right in the middle of everything on 40th and Park Avenue. And Rayshan, as you said, there's a wonderful kind of engagement that people can enjoy right from the street, which is these wonderful silhouettes of all different breeds of dogs kind of, you know, running as if they're running down a runway or in a park or something like that. They're shadows and they play with each other. It's very charming and engaging.
It's lovely. You can see it outside. You can see it inside. It's one of those things that's heartwarming. And the museum is two stories of glass. So you can sit and watch outside. You can sit and watch inside. It's lovely.
It's true. It's true. We have a wonderful, bright space.
The Museum of the Dog is associated with the AKC. In what way?
So we are an affiliate of the American Kennel Club, which has a couple of affiliates like the Canine Health Foundation and the Purebred Preservation Bank and a few other things, the Humane Fund. But essentially, we operate in connection and cooperation with the American Kennel Club. So what that means on a practical level for us is that our 1,700-piece collection of fine oil paintings, sculptures, bronzes, terracotta, everything you can imagine, artifacts, we share that with the AKC. So it's almost about half and half. Half belongs to the museum and half belongs to the AKC and their archives, and we share everything. And so when we rotate through exhibitions or mix up the general collection that's, you know, displayed between exhibitions, we are consistently swapping in and out with the AKC art and the museum art. So we have a really wonderful connection and ability to lean on their resources as they lean on ours.
What a great relationship. Companions of sorts.
Indeed, actually, it's not so different from the relationship that one enjoys with their canine companion.
You know,
it's a nice little model of that, right?
Absolutely. You lean on one another. You know, you get support from one another. That's what the dog-human relationship is all about. How long?
And at the museum, like the dog, we bring the joy.
There you go. I love that. Definitely the wine and cheese. Yeah. If you ever get the chance to go, or if you have had the chance to go and visit the New York City AKC Museum of the Dog, absolutely go do this. You'll leave with a smile. The Museum of the Dog is fairly new, considering how museums go. It was founded in 1982.
That's correct. In the American Kennel Club office, which at the time was on Madison Avenue. And so it existed for a few years in New York, and then, thanks to a series of happy things, ended up in a suburb of St. Louis for about 30 years. And in 2018, a lot of conversations happened, and it was decided, thankfully, that the museum would move back to New York to bring access to the collection to a much bigger group of people. And that's been wonderfully successful. So I've been in the role for about a year, but being in New York, we get to serve every walk of life and expose everyone to the joys of the dog, the joys of dog art. We talk a little bit about the AKC, the world of sports, and how people interact with their dogs on many different levels. And we use the art to tell those stories and to create these really wonderfully engaging programs. So New York being here in the center of everything really allows us to serve so many more people and so many more diverse groups of people from neighborhoods all across New York and from all across the world. We see so many tourists and, in fact, have become something of a tourist destination, which is just spectacular. People, you know, make sure they visit the Museum of the Dog during their couple of days in New York City, which we just love.
I love that. There's so many ways. As we go through our lives, oftentimes we get involved in niche groups. You're involved in your career group. You're involved in your parent group. You're involved in a friend group. And you come off into niches almost inadvertently. You know, there's a group that goes and meets at this bar, the group that meets here. And with something like the AKC or Museum of the Dog, it takes all of those barriers away and puts in a whole different barrier, something I find very unique. It's something that you have dogs in common. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic level. It doesn't matter what walk of life you're from. It doesn't matter anything but the love of dogs. And the dog stories start coming out. And I'm sure that you see this level playing field and the different conversations that can happen when the kismet happens.
You capture that so beautifully. And it's one of my favorite parts of this job and this institution is that, just like you said, when people connect around dogs and their own dogs and other people's dogs, everything else seems to sort of melt away. Like you're saying, these barriers that we face and the difficulty that we face, you know, every day with socioeconomic factors, difference of opinion, all of these polarized moments just kind of melt away. And people, it is remarkable to see how people connect so beautifully over and alongside their dogs. And so one of the things we try and do in the museum, and it's really important to me, is to create spaces for people to come experience things with their dogs. So we are an art and culture institution. It's important to me that people get to experience our amazing collection alongside their dog. Who doesn't want to do everything they possibly can with their dog?
Absolutely. Right?
So we create moments as often as possible. And kind of our baseline is every other Friday night, we host a program called Furry Friday, where people get to bring their dog to the museum and view the collection, but also participate in some sort of a program. So sometimes it's wine and cheese, like you said. Sometimes it's a printmaking class, and you get to make art of your dog with your dog. Sometimes it's, you know, any sort of celebration or program. It's really an exciting way to spend time and to engage with the culture of New York with your dog.
I love that. One of the things I think the museum does so well is the interaction and bringing things forward, whether it comes from history from museum pieces or whether it comes from interactions and conversations that happen. I'm going to take us back just to bring us a little bit forward again. One of the things that happens in New York is there's a lot of high-level meetings. We hear of large financial meetings. We hear of large business meetings. You think of the New York. If you're not in New York City, you often think of the New York Minute. Maybe the New Yorkers do think of the New York Minute. But how fast it goes. One of the things I started hearing and started hearing in our area is that the Museum of the Dog becomes, like you said, Chris, someplace for people to go and decompress. So after these large meetings, how many times do you see folks coming in their business attire just to kind of decompress before they go forward with the rest of their evening?
Yeah, you're so tuned in. I mean, so much more often than you would think. We have so many people who become members of the museum to do just that. So they pop in, you know, we close at 6 the weekdays that we're open. People will come in at 5 o'clock after a meeting, sometimes 4:30, and just sit in the library. We have a wonderful library that has over 7,000 volumes that cover every dog breed and everything you could want to know about dogs, puppies, all of it. And people come and sit and they'll pick out a book. They'll just kind of go through it. They'll stand and contemplate a piece of art. They'll engage with one of the interactive pieces that we have in the museum. It's really spectacular. And I love framing our space like that. It is a bit of an oasis, kind of in this chaotic city and world and life, for people to just come in, take a breath, and really kind of experience and breathe in the joy that comes with the history of dogs and their relationship, which is so unique to us. Our interspecies relationship is something that I just am fascinated and so impressed by. And I love that we get to capture a little piece of that here.
And there's a dog breed for everyone. One of the exhibitions.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. And so many people say, well, I'm a cat person. I'm not really a dog person. Mm-hmm. As a Bichon owner and my spouse is a cat person, he's fallen in love with the Bichons because of their cat-like abilities. There's a dog for everybody out there.
I agree. It's impossible not to fall in love with a dog when you find the right one for you.
When we come back, let's talk about some of those really exciting exhibits that you've had recently going forward.
Great.
It's Friday night after a long week. You're finally home hanging out with a dog and cat. And then it happens. The unthinkable. Your furry friend needs emergency medical care, and every second counts. That's why Pet EMT is here, because you are your pet's first responder. Pet EMT offers emergency medical training and CPR classes specifically for dogs and cats. Visit pet-emt.com to register for classes or purchase first aid kits and supplies. Stay prepared with Pet EMT. Visit pet-emt.com and be the hero your pet needs.
Do
Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.